Good morning, Uprising. I hope you all are feeling blessed this morning. I'd like to take a brief moment to thank your pastor, one of my mentors and good friends, the Reverend Karen Thompson, for inviting me to deliver this sermon today. Now, this was the first MC church I attended back in the 90s. And for those of you who do not know me, I've been a temporary pastor of MCC San Antonio, and then I was a pastor of Our Hope MCC in Athens, Georgia. I returned to Texas last summer, and I just had to say that your homie, Reverend Smooth, is back. It feels like coming home, even though we are online. I look forward and pray for the day when we can gather again in person and hug on each other and just love on each other. And this is my first time preaching here since the church changed its name to Uprising. And that name is just very encouraging and I love it. If anything, this pandemic has taught us the blessing in change, blessing in gathering together, something we once took for granted. Our divided world today continues to teach us the value of diversity and inclusion. Now, last week, we commemorated the late, great Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. And in this era of social media, it has become a day of sharing memes featuring his quotes. Even those who oppose the Voting Rights Act and other equality measures share his words of inspiration. But to paraphrase James Baldwin, we do not believe what they post because we see what they do. Still, they cannot take away the power, the sheer power of King's anointed words. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but the content of the character. I have a dream. Words from the 1960s, which remain true today, the dream and the struggle continues. Now this church has a blessing for everyone who walks through the door or enters the virtual door. Since I see you, I accept you just as you are. You belong. I see you. I accept you just as you are. You belong. If you're with someone, you may want to repeat those words to each other. If not, the next time you are with someone, you might want to repeat those words because we do not hear words like that often enough. I see you. I accept you just as you are. You belong. Those are powerful words, transformative words. And yes, even life-saving words. See, I know the value of those words because I know what it's like to not hear those words or feel even the inclusion of those words. Even Jesus knows something about not being accepted. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 9 through 11, is written, "The true light who gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him." And further in the Gospel of John, chapter 7, it is written, "Not even his brothers believed in him." Now, from our perspective, it may be difficult to believe that they cannot see God in Jesus. However, put yourself in their place. Do you see God in those that surround you? Do you see God in your siblings, a stranger, a homophobic neighbor, a transphobic neighbor, a racist neighbor? Do you see God in them? To be honest, I try to, but it's not always easy. And that's when we ask for grace, because we are still human, still a this divided world, and still a work in progress. Now, speaking from my own experience, I know what it feels like to not be accepted, to be treated as the other. It hurts, especially when you are in a social circle in which you should, without a question, belong. I mean, I'm instantly reminded of being told I was not black enough. He was military brat, began grade school in Germany. When my family returned to the States, I was told I spoke what they called proper, and I was not black enough. Now, this was scarring to someone who just wanted to belong. Their own received them not. Some of you may be able to relate from your own experiences within social circles. We are the one who has a difference. If you're the black sheep or rainbow sheep of the family, you probably can relate. At the risk of perpetuating stereotypes, I can call out even the rainbow community as well. Speaking for myself as a gay guy not into musicals, some have joked that I am not gay enough. You see, what happens in a group, a demographic sameness, differences matter and can subject you to ridicule. Now for me, being in an all-black group, I've learned from experience that dark skin, light skin mattered, good hair, bad hair mattered, your diet mattered, the movies or music you enjoyed mattered, and of course, your sexual orientation and gender identity mattered. It didn't take much to be considered not black enough. Then the words I spoke earlier became a faint whisper that you may not even acknowledge. I see you, I accept you just as you are, you belong. And let's get real. There are still plenty of churches and institutions willing to tell you outright you do not belong. And there may be a temptation to play along, to get along, just to feel that sentiment. But there's a betrayal of your spirit, a betrayal of the commandment to love yourself, each other, and God. And you wonder, where is the diversity? Now, there is a downside to diversity, tokenism. Being asked to join solely because of the color of your skin or your sexual orientation or gender identity, etc. Being invited to the table to fulfill somebody's checklist or for decoration. And worst of all, not being listened to. And often you risk being called out by your own community for playing their game. You have to weigh for yourself whether you have something to bring to the table and if your offering will be accepted. Now, I graduated from Austin Presbyterian Theological Seminary just as Reverend Karen did, and where our uprising sisters, Amanda and Carly, currently attend. In addition to being a student, I joked that I was thy diversity. In some of my classes, this was true. But more so, I was asked to be a part of student panel after student panel on my very first semester there. And I said yes, believing I had something to bring to the table, a voice that he didn't hear often enough. And Dan was often called to be on student panels, recruiting prospective students to discuss the marketing of the school, to offer input on professors' performances, and so on. At the risk of patting myself on the back, I think they helped make a difference in the acceptance of LGBTQ people on campus. It did make a difference in the Discrimination Act and adding queer theology to the curriculum. I share this to encourage you to speak your truth. And in spite of all your perceived differences, speak your truth. Now, often my invites to these student panels were emailed from Reverend Jackie, the student affairs director who was African-American. And she joked with me that there should be a chocolate chip in every cookie. And I joked back, don't forget, I also bring the rainbow sprinkles. The seminary also offered diversity training. And despite what critics may contend, it does have value and appeal to all, regardless of race, ethnicity, political persuasion, and so on. We could all learn from diversity training, and we allow ourselves to learn. I had to come to terms with my own biases, prejudices, and even, yes, my own privileges. Diversity training does not seek to make anyone feel guilty or racist or elevate one group above another. It encourages empathy. It's through this lens that I read, and I invite you to read today's scripture from the letter to the Galatians. This was written by Paul to a community he had evangelized, and most scholars would agree that there's a tone of frustration and gentle nudging throughout this letter. In the region of Galatia, the early church began as a Jewish messianic movement. And there were as many non-Jews as there were Jews, and this led to conflict. Those who abided by the rules of the Torah believed it only made sense for all who attended church to do the same. And this meant circumcision, eating a kosher diet, and observing the Sabbath. Simply put, if the Gentiles didn't follow these man-made rules, they'd rather not worship with them. The Jewish authorities arrived, questioned them, and judged the Gentiles wrong to behave as they did. They were not enough. They even criticized Peter to become an ally of the Gentiles. When Paul receives word of this, he writes this letter, first asserting his authority, then reminding them of Christ's authority and transforming power. Mankind may state you are not enough, however, Christ sacrificed himself so we all would be enough. The conflict in Galatia was a betrayal of the gospel message. Now, what is often not preached from the letter from the Galatians to the Galatians is accountability. To modernize today's scripture, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, gay nor straight, transgender nor cisgender, red state nor blue state, Longhorn nor Aggie. We are all children of God. Why don't we act like it? Are we holding ourselves and each other accountable when it comes to diversity and inclusion? So let's break it down from the Uprising Austin perspective, a church affiliated with MCC, founded by the Reverend Troy Perry, someone who knows something about being excluded since he was excommunicated due to his sexual orientation. This is a rainbow church, the land of misfit toys. The first MCC service held by the Reverend Troy Perry in 1968 was diverse from its very conception. There were Jewish people in attendance, male and female. And when I first started attending in Austin, I volunteered to show up one Saturday to help change the liturgical colors in the sanctuary. And I've always been gay enough to decorate. When I arrived, all the men were inside decorating, and the women were outside doing the yard work, not just mowing the lawn, but wielding chainsaws and axes. That's when I knew I found my tribe. Now, Uprising's website lists the value of diversity and inclusion in this way: respecting and celebrating the diversity and differences in God's creation. We seek to be a church that welcomes all of God's children, striving to be inclusive of all people and working to advance the unity of spirit. Sounds great. Sounds great on paper. However, how have we enacted it? And how have we held each other accountable for it? How many of us are hesitant or reluctant to invite someone to church, even online, because of a perceived difference? Just in our mind, dismissing that invite, thinking that this church is too progressive, that their religious background is too different, that they are too conservative, and so on. And that list can go on and go on and be long. Yet we still embrace, especially in Texas, we embrace that slogan, y'all means all. Why don't we act like it? And I realize that at times it can be a question of societal norms. You know, it is easier and more acceptable in society to identify yourself as a coffee freak, or a chocolate freak, or a football freak, or even a freak in the sheets, than it is as a Jesus freak who attends church regularly, even though the Bible calls us to evangelize and invite others. See, that's the ideal. I'm a realist. I'm not judging. I've had my challenges inviting others to our church as well. You know, I didn't even invite my own mother to my ordination as a deacon. When she found out, she invited herself and told my brother that he would drive her from San Antonio for the occasion. And that became my favorite memory, sharing communion at the table with my brother, the Baptist minister, my mom, who insisted that we were both still Catholic, and my nephew, who hadn't decided on a denomination at that point. I could have easily missed out on that opportunity. My own family. Now, for the first 2 decades I attended MCC Austin, I presumed we are all of a similar mindset, progressive thinkers. Then I was called to be a pastor, and our denomination required me to join Facebook. I was one of those reluctant ones. And that was an eye-opener, so many different perspectives from so many unlikely sources. Did they feel that way all along? I learned to love them anyway. I recall also when a regular attendee of the church who identified himself as Jewish wanted to become a member. That was very, very controversial. And some people left the church. Still, he became a member. For now, there is neither Jew nor Gentile. And as some of you know, this guy, me, Mr. Diversity, pastor of a church in the small town of Athens, Georgia. It was an MCC church, began by females and pastored by for 13 years by a wonderful woman. Shout out to Renee DeBose. However, there was a gender shift in attendance when I came on board. I came under fire, accused of being sexist, favoring one gender over the other. I was being held accountable. I could have been defensive or I could have been mindful. For our pride booth, I made a pointed appeal to the few women of the church to sign up for a shift. Because it wasn't just about me. It was about the church. It was about God. See, the arc of diversity bends toward the book of Revelations, chapter 7, verse 9, which describes the final gathering of God's people from every nation, tribe, and tongue. Diversity and inclusion. Don't you want to be a part of that? Would you prefer your neighbor to be a part of that final gathering? And it always seemed pretty obvious to me, God created us all a little different. I don't believe she did so and chose one race above another, or one gender above another, one sexual orientation above another. If anything, it is a litmus test so that we may expand our view of God by seeing God in our neighbors. And how similar we actually are, seeing God in all of her glory. It is God's voice we desperately long to hear saying, I see you. I accept you just as you are. You belong. Namaste and amen.